Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Wednesday, and I'm here with Joy Behar. This is Behind the Table.
Maria!
Here we are.
Maria!
It is Wednesday.
Oh, Maria!
It is Wednesday. We are here with Joy Behar and, of course,
Maria!
Thank you. We are here with Maria. So the Maria has swept the nation. People are very excited about it, in part because they find it very funny, but more than that, how much they're enjoying how much you enjoyed this. I personally have not seen you so filled with the mirth in a long time. This is great.
Well, you know, this election season makes miserable people out of all of us, you know. But I was doing it on the weekend too. I was having fun with it.
I'm going to have this loaded up every time I go into your room now in the morning in case I need something when you're getting annoyed. Why are we having this guest on?
Some people, I just would say it and I start laughing, you know. And others just look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, we actually received a text for you on the Maria video from Liam in Toronto, a self-proclaimed OG Bri guy. Hey, Brian, longtime listener, first time texter. This question is for Joy. Your reaction to the chicken video warmed hearts around the world. You spend a lot of time making others laugh, but other than chicken videos, what or who makes you laugh? Are you a laugher?
I'm a good laugher. I laugh. I mean, I'm not like Robin Hommel, who is one of the producers.
Yes.
And a very close friend, both of us.
Yes.
She's a good laugher.
She doesn't love being mentioned on the podcast. But
in this context, she might.
I think it's fine. Yes.
Because she's a wonderful person, but she also has a great laugh and just laughs a lot.
Yeah. I love a good audience, as do you. It's one of the best things about Sarah Haynes. Now, there's a good
audience.
She's
another one who laughs a lot. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
It starts to feel cheap after a while because she just laughs so hard at everything, but I appreciate it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, sure.
As a comedian, you know, I'll take whatever I can get.
Well, I will say I've been around.
Although I call myself a comedian, I haven't done it in years.
Yeah, still, I think once a comedian, always a comedian.
I guess so.
But I find that being around comedians myself, not having ever been one, but being around those people, those are the best feelings. I mean, if I could make you laugh sincerely, Whoopi, David Letterman, anything like that, a legitimate laugh, I just feel warm all day long.
You want to know, I mean, I know this is name dropping, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Sure.
One of my friends, and this is not an acquaintance, he's a friend, is Alan Alda and his wife Arlene. We go out to dinner with them all the time. Been friends since 1990 when I did a film with him. It's called Manhattan Murder Mystery.
Yeah.
He is the best laugher, and so is she.
That's great.
The two of them, and my husband, Steve, who can be very funny, he gets them laughing all the time, and so do I. It's a great feeling.
The smarter somebody is, the more accomplished they are when you really make them break.
But they're good laughers, though.
That's great.
Yeah, they're wonderful. He's a great, first of all, I just adore Alan Alda. You know, he's suffering right now with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
But even with that, he's hysterical laughing at stuff. He has a podcast that he does about science. He's an incredible guy.
I've been lucky enough to meet him through you, and he's been a guest on the show, but I'm such a big fan of his. I will say one of the best feelings I ever had on the very last episode of The Late Show with David Letterman, they had all these stars in for the top 10 list. So in the green room was Jerry Seinfeld, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Tina Fey, Jim Carrey, Chris Rock, Bill Murray, all these people. And I was in the room sitting with them and I made a joke and I got a laugh from the whole room.
You're
and
kidding.
I could have died right
oh
there.
Oh my God.
It was fantastic.
Oh,
it was
died and went to heaven.
It was the best I was ever going to feel. all right. So the other question is, who makes you laugh? Because you are from outside of professional comedians and stuff like that. You're a tough audience because I think you analyze and say, huh, okay, that's funny. Like,
no,
you do that.
No, look, one time in 1975 when I auditioned for Saturday Night Live, you've never heard that story.
No.
I had a character and you'll have to read it in my book, but there was a period where I was, I tried to get on because I had this funny character that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an audition for Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
He never left. And after I was done, he said, that was funny. And I said, you didn't laugh. He said, well, I don't want to laugh because then you'll think you have a job. I said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I don't even want the job, to tell you the truth. I just, I don't know. It's a long story of how I got to that point. But people like him, they don't laugh.
No, he's famous for not laughing at those auditions. Yeah. I've heard other people
say that. It's a little depressing to have to audition for somebody and they don't laugh.
Now, that is kind of a great sliding doors moment for you. I mean, let's say you had gotten Saturday Night Live at that point in your life. Your whole life probably very different, wouldn't you think?
I was so not ready for the stress of a job like that.
Right.
That I prayed that I didn't get the job. And I didn't.
Yeah. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Absolutely.
But there's the question, who makes me laugh? My friends do.
Yes.
You know? There's a guy named Larry Amoros who was a very funny writer. Mm-hmm. He writes comedy. Mm-hmm. He also works with Barry Manilow, who gives him patter, you know, patter for his shows. And if he was around here, you'd be laughing all day.
Sure.
And he's not famous.
Susie Essman makes you laugh. I mean, she is
does.
Famous,
yeah.
I've seen
that. She does. We make each other laugh.
Yeah.
But she'll laugh at the stupidest things. And I'm like that, too.
Yeah. I have to say my wife makes me laugh, which I appreciate.
She does.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which is good.
And Steve makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going on a trip with him when we have that week off.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't that it was funny, I wouldn't want to even go with him.
I was going to say, I think that's a bit, I don't think I could be with someone who didn't have a good sense of humor. Maybe if it was just someone who thought I was funny, I could do it because I'm an egotist. All right. So Kumail Nanjiani was on the show today and he talked about meeting his wife when he was doing stand-up. She heckled him from the audience and it was apparently a turn-on for him. Would you have liked it if Steve heckled you? I don't think you would have.
I was not heckled a lot. People are mostly afraid of the person who has the microphone.
As they should be.
But he's so amiable.
Yes.
I could pick it up immediately. The guy was crying three times in the interview. It was like John Boehner.
I have to say, he was also really emotional right before he walked out. He was talking to Sarah Haynes, who's another one who cries at the drop of a hat.
Oh, she's another one.
But he was getting really, I mean, he's just in touch with his feelings. I think it's a good thing, but.
I understand it, though.
Yeah.
He's a young Pakistani. I said this to him off the air. I said, I understand why you're crying.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young Pakistani guy and loving Ghostbusters and never thinks that he would be part of that. And then he is.
Yeah.
Makes him cry. I understand that.
Yeah. No, to be a part of something that he loved so much as a kid, I could see that making him emotional. That makes
a lot
of
sense. You know, I can relate. First of all, you don't have to be of a person of color to get that.
Right.
Because when I was a kid, I used to watch Father Knows Best with Robert Young. And all the kids' names were named after like little animals, Kitten and Bud.
Sure.
You know,
Bunny.
Where I grew up, they were Ralph, Anthony, Frankie, and you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Louie. And so I never really could. And then the father was so present. My father was, you know, a gambler. He was at the OTB sitting in a beach chair.
Right.
And so I could relate to being left out. The same way that people of color feel that they're left out.
It just was a different kind of left out.
It's
was
a different,
socioeconomical.
There was nobody on television who looked like me, who acted like me.
Right. There still really isn't.
Well, there's, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond was on.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And there's another show like that and like that.
Yeah.
No, so I get it. I get how that feels as an American who comes from an immigrant family. You never feel 100% like you're accepted.
As someone who's been on television for so long, you've met every famous person in the world at this point.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like in the way that he's kind of just blown away by meeting the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that really makes an impact on you now based on celebrity or fame or I can't believe I'm sitting next to them? Or is
the
that
only past? Person that I ever felt that way was with Obama.
Yeah.
When Obama came on the show, it was like, not only was I impressed and I told my daughter up and I said, get over here with the kid and bring your husband and take a picture.
Right.
So that when he has to do show and tell, he's got really something to show and tell. So that was the one. And Jimmy Carter.
So presidents.
The people, not only just presidents, because if it was George Bush, I wouldn't have been so excited.
Right.
And certainly Trump has been on the show many times, and I was not blown away in the least.
No, well, he wasn't president then.
Well, even before or after or during, I'm not blown away by him. But it's people that I admire.
For me, it's always...
I know who it was.
Yeah.
Catherine Deneuve.
Oh, of course. I remember.
Catherine Deneuve, who was the great French actress. In case you don't know who she is, go on your Apple TV and Google the last, or whatever you have to do, get the last Metro. Okay, it's in French, but it is the most fabulous film. She is the most beautiful thing you'll ever see anywhere in this country,
She's
in the world.
Gorgeous. Yes, definitely.
And she was here, and I was following her around. At one point, she said to someone, is she a lesbian? I said, I am now.
Now, for me, because I've been, again, lucky enough to meet big movie stars and, uh-huh. and you know, and presidents and all those things and, yeah. and Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. But the people that impact me, it's anyone I cared about when I was 12 years old.
Who were those people?
Like, I mean, the people you would not think
Tell
were
me.
A big deal. Like the Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio.
Okay.
Like, if I was in a movie theater watching him, I have to say the Ghostbusters actually would be impactful for me, too.
Yeah.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who I had a very big crush on as uh-huh. a kid and pretty much everyone my age did.
Yeah.
I think anyone who was on television, on a sitcom, was in my home as a child or I looked up to as a kid is just, I'm blown away by.
Well, you see, the difference here with me is that I started so late in mm-hmm. my life. I was almost 40 when I got into the business.
Right.
That my idols were dead.
They weren't coming around.
No,
yeah.
Ingrid Bergman,
yeah.
Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. Betty Davis,
yeah.
Barbara Stanwyck. Those were my idols, and they were not around when I was coming in the business. So I had to make do with the new sitcom people, which I don't even watch sitcoms.
No, sure, sure. Yeah. And you still have Catherine.
I met Mary Tyler Moore.
That was a big one for me, too.
Carol Burnett,
yes.
People like that. I loved meeting Carol Burnett.
Of course.
She's great.
Of course. No. So
and
that's
Phyllis Diller, I went to her house one time. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
I went to her house, and Lily Tomlin and I went to her house together.
That's amazing.
In Beverly Hills.
Right. Even meeting Lily Tomlin would be huge for me. That's
yes.
the thing. Yeah.
I don't exactly know how that got arranged, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And Phyllis was so charming and delightful. I just thought she was the greatest. And she, you know, she told me that when she was in her 80s, I think, she gave up stand-up. She tried writing, and it didn't work, so she tried painting. So all over her house were paintings that she had done, and every one of the paintings had a price tag on it. Just in case you wanted to buy something. And she gave me one, and I still treasure it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
All right, so speaking of your taste in comedy, we also got a listener call that wants to know your thoughts on modern comedy.
Joy, this is Alexi. I have been a huge fan since I was like 12 years old, and now I'm 28, and I still text with my dad every day about the funny things you say on the show. I've always said that if I was friends with two celebrities in real life, it would have been you and Joan Rivers. And so my question is, what do you think about the direction that comedy is going in these days? You know, there's so much good material, but also so much red tape.
It's very hard to do comedy about Donald Trump because he is so, besides being a horrible person, he's the comedy itself. You almost don't have to write the material. I mean, today when we're talking about him and he says, My favorite book is the Bible. What a bunch of horse manure. What are you going to do with that? You know, so I tried a joke about, which I said today, which was the last time he got on his knees was to pick up a French fry.
Yeah, I heard.
You know, I had a few others, but I restrained myself.
I'm always appreciative of it.
But I'm very happy to hear that a 28-year-old is still a fan of mine. Because, you know, that's quite a few generations away.
There's many, many people. She has many peers that are fans of yours.
But still. What I find in the new group of comedians, I came up with the Catskills guys. You know?
Right.
I had to go and do 50 minutes with like a half hour material at the Concord. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And they didn't walk out. You know, they used to walk out there.
Yeah.
It would be like a major exodus. One time I remembered Glenn Campbell was there singing Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
They all left. Comedy today is not the same as it used to be.
Correct.
It used to be about getting a laugh. Now, it seems to me, and this is just an observation, it's about what hardships you've had in life.
Hmm.
And, you know, and some lofty ideas. And not since God said, ha. Remember that?
I do.
That started a trend of confessional comedy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. No, that is interesting, actually, from your perspective. I know you're not someone who sits home watching comedy specials and things like that.
No,
because you're probably too close to that world to enjoy it.
I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in material from World War II.
The one who I enjoy that I think you would like is John Mulaney. Have you ever seen him do stand-up?
No.
I think I'm going to send you some stuff. I think you'd like it. He had a very funny Trump thing I enjoyed that was different. And more,
you know. Here's the thing: I would probably like it, and I do appreciate comedians.
I do,
because I mean, I love comedians. I was just saying to Susie Essman the other day, all I want to do is hang out with comedians,
right?
Now, because they're fun, and they take no prisoners, and they're not politically correct, and especially when we're all together. In fact, I'm going to have a lunch. I'm going to set up a lunch with Judy Gold, Mario Cantone, and Susie Essman.
Oh,
very soon.
Amazing.
Yes. And we'll just talk about everything, and there will be no interruptions of political correctness.
I love it. All right. You made a comment in the Hot Topics meeting this morning that people in this country don't have the same respect for older people like other cultures do. You grew up surrounded by your family, so was it different for you?
I was surrounded by all older people.
Right.
I was the youngest one in the family for 7 years. And I was surrounded by many Italian-American relatives, aunts and uncles, grandparents, everybody, parents.
And you went back and kind of recorded a lot of them before they passed,
which
is a very cool thing.
Well, this was about, I guess, 20 years ago when they were alive still. And I took my video.
Recording them when they died really wouldn't get you
that
much.
That would have been hard to get. Well, they're probably still talking.
Yeah.
But I took my camera, whatever I had. Mm-hmm. I set up a tripod and I interviewed them the way you are interviewing me.
Yes.
And I asked them different questions, not just family members, people, friends of the family.
Mm-hmm. And what?
And now I have it on tape and we're laughing. Hilarious. Like this one woman, my mother's friend, Caroline, she was so funny. If you said to her, why do you like living in Florida? What would be your answer?
The heat.
What else?
The proximity to Disney World. Swimming.
The beach.
The beach,
I like
yes.
the beach. This is what she would say. I love Florida because I'm a water individual. Okay? You can't write this stuff.
Now, have you tried to show Luca any of this?
He's not that into it.
Yeah, he's too young to appreciate it.
He's too young. My daughter regrets that because she keeps trying to say, look at the photographs of grandma and your great-grandparents.
Right.
It'll
be there for him when he's old enough to be interested.
That's right. But people do interview their children a lot now because of the video cameras everybody carries around with them. I suggest that you videotape the older people, not just the kids.
That's a good idea. I have friends that do the same interview every year with their children on their birthday. The same seven or eight
that's
questions
great.
And see how it changes.
When my kid was, she's older now. I mean, but she was born, you know, I don't even want to say her age because she'll kill me. But when she was a kid, there was no smartphone.
Right.
And now you have it. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's really nice. And you forget their voices. You forget their, you know, what
well,
they were like at different ages.
I have one of my grandson. The one thing I treasure, because he was about 3 or 4, and he said, my daughter said to him, do you love Nana? And he said, Nana is a poopy head. So she said, well, why do you say that? Say, if you're going to say Nana's a poopy head, you have to say No-No is a poopy head. And he said, no, Nana's a poopy head.
He loves No-No.
I love No-No.
All right. Final question. We have another listener call from you. We get a lot for you, I have to say.
Okay.
This time from a Republican named TJ.
Oh.
Let's listen.
I'm actually a Republican, but this question is for Joy. I do not agree with you on a lot, but I do think you're pretty funny and your points are sometimes pretty accurate and, again, pretty funny. I was just wondering if you would have to say one nice thing about Republicans, what would it be?
Can I say one nice thing about Republicans?
Yes, and what would it be?
I respect Republicans. I grew up with Eisenhower. I mean, I respect real Republicans, even Reagan, although he had flaws. They all do, you know. Mm-hmm. But I seem to be anti-Republican right now, but what I am is anti-MAGA. I'm not anti-Republican. Alyssa is a good kid. You know, she and I get along really well. She's a Republican.
Yeah.
There are other people in my life who are Republicans and people that I hang out with, you know, in my social life.
Sure, people who work at the show. I mean, it's not like this.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that they have some major valid points.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, a lot of the party's been taken over by Trump. And it's hard for me to talk about it. I only have 3 minutes to talk, let's say, right? What's his name? TJ.
Yeah.
I have 3 minutes to talk. What am I going to do? Talk how great Republicans are? Or am I going to criticize what the MAGA Republicans are doing? You see my problem?
I do. All right. Well, I think you made a good point there. Thank you for joining me, Joy. Tomorrow, I will be back with Sonny Hostin. As always, the number to call or text us with questions is right here in the episode description. Behind the Table will be dark this Friday, March 29th, and next Monday, April 1st. But we will have a new episode of The View every single day next week. We are not going on vacation next week.
Right.
So thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Maria!
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.